If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'd like to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. If you will stand with me, we'll read a few verses together. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verse number 1, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. In other words, these are some of his last words. And it is the blessing that he pronounced upon the children of Israel. I want to skip all the way down to verse number 24, to the blessing that he pronounced upon one of the tribes named Asher. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, I just want to add this. Verse 27 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Some of Moses' last word. This is what he says to all of us. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. Understand, we don't have anything to worry about. Amen. We do worry, but we don't have to. And when he said in verse 25, as thy day, so shall thy strength be, God's told us that he's going to give us an allotment of days upon this earth to live. And he's promised us that he'll give us strength for the day. And we've read there in the New Testament where we are to pray that the Lord would give us our daily bread. Amen. I'm interested in this thought this morning. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 6 and continue it on subjects of worry. Subjects of worry. He promised us, I'll give you strength for each day. Boy, we need strength this morning, don't we? Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to think about this morning subjects of worry. I've been preaching a lot about subjects of, and maybe you say, why do you say we're subjects of? Listen, we were subjects unto death till Jesus came and gave his life, and on the third day was raised again and destroyed him that had power of the death, a power of death, and no more are you and I subjects unto death. And you don't have to be subjects unto worry. You don't have to be subjects unto procrastination. But so many times in our flesh, that's what we get into. And this morning, it's what I feel like God would have us to preach. In fact, it's been on my heart all week this week. And he said, Sunday morning, this is what I want you to preach to the church. I'm going to send folks there that you need to preach this to, namely myself. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to look into a portion of your word. Pray, God, you'd make preaching easy today. Help us to make application to our life, that Jesus might be honored in our lives and in this body of believers. Lord, we ask your help this morning For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Enjoyed the good singing this morning of the congregation. Enjoyed the special music this morning. It sure has been a blessing. And I thought this morning, sitting on the front row, I said, Lord, subjects of worry just doesn't seem to match up with what everybody else is doing this morning. Some folks is very burdened and some folks is ready to jump off their seat and shout. And there's a real mixture here. And God said, this is what I want you to preach. Now, I'm reminded that this last week, my dad's church was broken into. And the silent alarms and the alarms that would make sound went off at the police station and inside the church there. And the police got there and they came through and they heard men, at least what they thought were men, running through the hallway on their way to get out of the building. Nothing was harmed, nothing was stolen, nothing was vandalized, but the security cameras, they only saw the men as they were running, but may got a good look at their face. That's going to be determined by the police department. But got to thinking about how we might worry that the church house would get broke into. Used to, you didn't have to lock the house of God. You left it open for people to come in and pray if they wanted to. Everything was safe, but nowadays we worry a lot about things getting stolen, don't we? That reminds me of the woman that time. That about 8 or 10 years, every night she could not sleep. She was afraid a burglar was going to break in their house. For years and years and years she was afraid of that. And then all of a sudden, one night, they heard a bump downstairs. And her husband got up and said, what was that? She said, I heard it too. He said, you hear everything. She said, I heard it too. He went downstairs to investigate, and sure enough, there was a burglar in the house. And he stopped. He said, excuse me, sir. And the burglar kind of jumped. He was kind of caught by surprise. And he said, I wish you'd come upstairs. My wife's been waiting 8 to 10 years to meet you. He took off out the door and ran away. Somebody said this about the price of gas. You know, it's coming down, but it's been awful high. One man felt like his price of gas was being beat by the guy down the road. And he figured out, well, I think I'm going to go to some kind of gimmick to get more business. And he wrote on his sign, free gas tomorrow. You see, tomorrow really never comes, does it? It'll always be tomorrow when today comes. And you realize that today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday? Amen. I want us to think here in these thoughts. Verse number 25 about worry. Worry is inconsistent. Preacher, what do you mean? Now understand, Jesus is preaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Worry is inconsistent. Understand what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying do not plan for the future. Jesus planned for His ministry. He's planning for our future. He's building a place called heaven. You have a mention there if you're saved today. And from the beginning of time, God had a plan. He said, in 6 days I'm going to make the earth. On the seventh day I'm going to rest. I'm going to one day send my Son because mankind's going to sin. I've got a plan. My Son's going to bleed and die and give His life that they might be saved. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I've made a plan for my future. Amen. I believed in that man who died on the cross. On that man who rose again on the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hey, Jesus is not saying, do not plan. Amen. But He's also not saying, do not be concerned. One day I was down at the parsonage. Years ago, we hadn't lived here long. And my son had one of them little motorized cars, you know. And he was riding around there in the driveway back and forth. And seemed like the dog got to doing something and turned around to watch what the dog was doing. He's going to tear something up or carry something off and turn around. And I mean in just 5 or 10 seconds, when I wheeled back around to check on Luke, Luke had done cut across beside that crooked rail fence across that green lawn all the way out within about 8 or 10 feet of the highway. And I was concerned. I thought there is no way I can get from here to there to help him. And it concerned me to the point of being alarmed. Jesus is not saying don't be concerned. You need to be concerned when some things happen to a point of action. I took off running to get the boy and to pull him away from the road before he decided to put his little car on the highway and drive with everybody else. And by the way, he don't have a license yet. But he'd have been no match for them 60-mile-an-hour automobiles, okay? Understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning. If your child was beside a boa constrictor this morning, you'd better get concerned. I'm not telling you to worry. Concern is something that forces you to make action. Worry is this. Worry is your ability to be overly concerned about the future. Well, what if such and such happens and so does this? And I feel like all week long I keep running into people that says, boy, I'm worried about. And that word just jumps out. And a couple times this week, even the word wanted to come out of my vocabulary. And I said to my wife, I'm careful. I'm not the one to use that word. And I'm careful to try to surrender my life and submit my life to the point where I don't worry. But I'm going to say this morning, before I ever get in the message, I do worry about things sometimes. How about y'all? Anybody? Just about two or three. Well, this is a message for y'all. Rest of yous, just hang loose, hang out. Yous don't worry about nothing, I realize. Worry is inconsistent. Understand, you get overly concerned about the future. What can you change in the future? The future is beyond your control. You do not own it. You can plan for it. Yes, you can pray for it. Absolutely. But it is beyond your boundaries of control. It is in our God's hands. We ought not to worry about what's in His hands. He says, take no thought. Understand this. Jesus provided you with a body. Look at it. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God gave you a body. You didn't have it to worry about. Preacher, that's before I existed. I couldn't worry then. But now He's given me a body and I've got to worry. Hang on. God also gave you life to go in that body. You're not in control of that. You may think you are, but it's He that keeps your heart beating and it's He that keeps your lungs breathing each and every second. It is He that is in control. And my friend, this morning, I want you to know that if you think for one second that if God that gave you life and God that gave you a body doesn't know how to run that body and provide the needs of your body, you are sadly mistaken. You don't have to worry about this stuff because God has your needs right in His hands and He has a supply to give you. Thought this morning while we were in the prayer room. We got to reading in Nehemiah about all the tithes and the offerings being brought into the storehouse of the house of God. Didn't realize it at the time, but when I came out and I walked into the service, God reminded me, don't you know that I have a storehouse in heaven? And it has all the answers to your problems and all the supplies for your needs. Just call on me. It's mine to grant and mine to give unto you. You see, worry's inconsistent. Worry is a word that causes you to be a person of a divided mind. You know what I'm trying to say this morning? A divided mind? It is this. If you have a divided mind, you worry over things. You think about things that are legitimate sometimes in your life, legitimate things. And then you get to worry about things that are worthless and things that are meaningless, things that will never happen. Boy, you know what? Way over half the things you're troubled about never happen. Somewhere around 95% of things you worry about, according to a study, never happens. That means, my friend, you're killing yourself, worrying yourself to death. Worry divides your mind from thinking right-mindedly to thinking wastefully. Worry is inconsistent. Now watch this, number two. I want to say worry is irrational. We read in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now, I want you to understand this morning. Is God able to meet the needs of my body and the needs of my life? Is God able? If God is able, you have nothing to worry about. But it's inconsistent. But it's also irrational. What do you mean? Think about the birds. I never seen them out sowing seed. I've never seen them reaping seed. I've never seen them gathering things into a barn. Well, preacher, I've seen them gather up a worm or two. Yeah, but you know what? If they gather up a bunch of worms and take them and put them up in a little nest there, the worms will rot and they won't be any good. You see, they can't lay up and plant. The only thing they can do as far as planting is they can build a nest. They can think about a family, but that's all that they can do.
It's the only plans they can make. Yet God has given you as a man or as a woman, He's given you the ability to sow seed and corn grow up and then take it and reap it and then take it and gather it and shuck it and take it and put it into Ziploc bags and into cans that you might have corn for the wintertime. Now watch this. These little birds trust God. They trust God's going to take care of them and meet their needs. He's saying, if God that provides for the birds, why are you worried that He won't provide for you? Why are you saying He's going to forget about me? Are you not much better than the birds? He didn't come bleed and die for a bird. He came and bled and died for you, for mankind. And you think He's going to fail you now? You ain't got nothing to worry about. It's irrational to sit and think about, sit there and being concerned and worry. Understand this. If He needs it, if He can meet the needs of a bird, He can meet the needs of you and I. Now, I'm not saying this. I am not preaching laziness. I am not preaching just kick back and be uncaring and unconcerned and, well, preacher said God take care of me. I'm waiting for Him to send me a check. Hey, man, watch this over here in 1 Timothy. We're coming back to Matthew. Don't lose it. 1 Timothy, chapter number 5. I believe the little birds has got to get out and work to get the worm. I believe they've got to get out and work to build the nest. And I believe that a man or as the head of his household, he ought to be willing to get out and work. Amen. I don't care if I did say it. Amen. He ought to be working. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Yes, I realize that you lost your job. Yes, I realize the economy don't look good. And your job's hanging in the balance. Yes, I realize that. But a God that can feed all the birds, I've said it 100 times. If Bill Gates had the burden of feeding all the birds just a day, by lunchtime, he'd be out of money and bankrupt. By lunch, yet our God feeds them each and every day. And the last time I looked down there in front of the Walmart, that little bird did not have a big sign around his neck saying, I will chirp for food. He did not do that. He did not do that. He said, I'm going to trust God. Hear what I'm telling you today. I can take you to Luke and tell you that every hair of your head is numbered. Every hair of your head. Every hair of your body. Number! God cares for you today. Go back with me to the book of Matthew. I'm trying to hurry on. Little bird, trust God. Why can't we? I want you to see in verse number 27 that worry is not only inconsistent, and not only is it irrational, but it is ineffective. What will worry change? It'll change you, but it won't change the circumstance. Watch how ineffective. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Well, a cubit is 18 inches. I think I'm just going to stop worrying that I need to be 7 feet tall so I can take on a bunch of you in basketball and dominate. I'm worried to death that I'm not tall enough. And as hard as I try, and as hard as I stand on these back braces and they try to stretch me, I'll not add one cubit, yea, not one inch to my height. I cannot extend how tall I am, neither can you. Furthermore, which one of you, by worrying, is going to add one day to your life? You were death. You think you're going to add one day? You won't add 1 second. You will not add one day, 1 hour to your life. Now, the Bible says add. It did not say subtract. Worrying will cause you to subtract. There's many a folk laid in the grave today because of worry. A premature death came because of worry. We do that. You worry and put them gray hairs in your head early. You get overly concerned about things, get anxious, and cause knots in your belly. All kinds of stress going on. And you look around and you blame all this stuff. But really, it's our worry that causes us to have problems. Amen? I want to say that worry accomplishes
nothing.
I want to say number four, that worry is illogical. What do you mean, preacher? It is illogical. Look down here in verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, that they toil not, neither do they spin. And I say to you, that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these.
Think about Solomon, the richest, wisest man on the face of all the earth. And he, in all his glory, was not clothed like the lilies of the field.
Who caused them to be beautiful? Who raised them up when they were not? Who stood the lily up and caused him to blossom and bloom? Who caused him to have his fragrance? And who caused him to have his beauty? You didn't do it. God blessed it. God caused it to happen. And if a God like that can take care of a lily and the very grass of the field, boy, Brother Jeff, you do a great job mowing the grass, I might say. That grass grows and Jeff cuts it down. And then it grows again and Jeff cuts it. And then it grows again. God blesses it to grow. And Jeff cuts it down and it grows right back. But you know what? Let me say this to you. In the wintertime, that grass will quit growing. And if it gets dry enough, that in the summertime, that grass will quit growing. And it begins to turn brown. And as you walk on it, it'll crack under your feet. You see that grass that God's blessed, or that lily, as the weather and the seasons change, it may decide to die and wilt over. The Bible says today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Ain't that what it says? Well, you know what? You're not like the grass if you're saved. You're going to live for eternity. You're going to live forever. And if a God that promised you eternal life can't take care of your physical needs and yea, your spiritual needs on this earth without you worrying, being concerned, and overly concerned, unduly concerned, my friend, it's illogical for you to think that way. Do you agree? Worry, absolutely, my friend. Makes no. How are people say, well, I don't have anything to wear. I've got this gala, this engagement, and I don't. Raise your hand, fellas. You ever heard somebody say that? I don't have a thing to wear, huh? I don't have. Oh my! And you look in the closet. Lord, have mercy. Looks like Walmart's gonna open up a big old storage center in that closet, but they ain't got a thing to wear. And the man will say, I ain't got a thing to wear. You realize God's give you a lot more than you give Him credit for? God provides our needs. And to say something makes no sense that God wouldn't provide. Let me try to move on. Verse number 31, I want to say it is irreverent to worry.
What? It is sin.
31, watch. Therefore, take no thought. In other words, don't you worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, preacher, that's it. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. Let me say something to you. When you got saved, you was a Gentile dog. You were an outcast. You were a foreigner, a stranger to the things of God. We were outside the family. Amen? But when you got saved, He grafted you in. He adopted you into the family of God. You're not considered a pagan or a heathen anymore. You're considered a family of God. And He said the pagans, the heathens, they're worried about possessions and they're worried about obtaining all these things. He said it's irreverent for you to go after all these worldly possessions. And it is irreverent for you to run around here worried all the time. Oh, how are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? He said, what you're doing is you're like an irreverent heathen that worships idols and stuff. You're saying I can't. That's what you're saying when you worry. That God can't. I want to tell you what, you know God can. Your spirit that lives inside you, your soul knows God can. You know He's able and you know He will because you're going to be in eternity with Him forever and ever. For you to do anything less is irreverent. It is questioning God to worry about things that you're not in control of. It is to try to take the authority from God and the sovereignty from God and to place it upon yourself. Just how many times have you come to altar and you prayed and you went right back out there in the world and you tried to answer your own prayer requests? You made the phone calls and all these things you had to make it happen. Friend, it's not in your hands. It's in God's hands. There's many of you that, listen, last night as we were coming back from the trip, somehow I was behind the bus, I stopped to get gas, and they should have went way on in front of me, but somehow now I got in front of the bus. And we tried to call and we got worried about, where was the bus? We got worried. Where's the bus? I can't catch it. Is it in front of me? Is it behind me? You realize things you worry about things in the future. I couldn't control it if the bus was in front of me. You can't worry about things in the past. I'll sit right there in between. And when we finally got through to them, the bus was some minutes behind us. And we finally saw it go down the road. We pulled back in it again. I'm telling you what you're doing is illogical. And it is irreverent in that you're worried about things that you have no control over. And God showed me that again last night. He said, there you go again. There you go again. Question me. One man said this. That worry can be, our life can be like this, like a great ocean liner. And you take ocean liners, they have compartments in the basement, in the hull of that ship. And if it gets penetrated, they run into an iceberg or something, it gets penetrated, they close the compartment off, okay, that one compartment. And the ship will stay afloat simply by closing one compartment. You know where you need to live? You need to live in the compartment of today. You need to close the door on the past. There is nothing you can worry about what was done or said back there that's going to change where you are today. Let it go. And you need to close the watertight compartment on the future. That is in God's hands. I'm not telling you don't plan. I'm not telling you don't be concerned about action. But I'm telling you don't be unduly concerned. Try to take things out of God's hand, God's hands into your hands. Let me say number six. I want you to see the invocation of worry. Watch this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, worry destroys people. You get caught up in all this stuff. But here's what you need to do. You need to take the lens. The lens you need to look through is you need to make God your lens to look at your life with. And if you look at your life through the focal point of God, things become much different. The things you worry and concerned about, you wouldn't be unduly concerned at all or worried. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, and I'll add all these things unto you. He's able, y'all. He has given us an invocation, and that is that we need to settle this thing and let God be God in their life. Lastly, the instruction of worry. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. In other words, don't have any anxious thoughts. Let me close out of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I know you've got this marked in your Bible. No anxious thought. Don't worry about it. I think what he's trying to say is don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. If you spend as much time in prayer as you do about worrying, things that really get done. You lay awake at night on your pillow, cannot sleep, cannot count sheep because you're worried about things that's going to go on in the future. Things that are out of your hands. If this and if that. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about it. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You understand? If you are worried, you don't have peace. You are troubled. Oh, you may have peace because you're saved. But you don't have peace this morning because you've been worried. You worried last night. You worried this morning. I'm not saying no concern. I'm not saying no plan. No, I'm saying you've got undue concern, undue worry this morning. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what worry's going to do? Yeah, tomorrow may be a bad day. It may be. But if you worry about tomorrow, today, and you get all anxious and excited about it, it robs you of the energy God's afforded you to prepare for tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Preacher, what am I going to do? Close the door on yesterday. Close the day on tomorrow. And serve Him today. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. You stand to your feet this morning. Hudson Taylor. He's a missionary to China. And he's the founder of a work called the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. This is what he said. Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into the hands of God. And then, when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. I want to say to you today, that's good advice. If you'd just give it all to Him, you won't have anything left to be worried about. Understand, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Nothing you have today is really yours. God's afforded and give it to you, allowing you to borrow it just for now. When death comes, all these possessions will still be here for somebody to fight over. Aren't you glad you can put everything into God's hands? Somebody loves you. Somebody understands you. Somebody knows what you need. And your need is different than anybody else's here. But He knows. Boy, I'm glad I have a God. And I can take my simple little old life and my concerns, my worries, my frets, my anxieties, and put them in the hands of a mighty God. It'll turn out all right, children. It'll turn out all right. You bow your heads this morning. Nobody looking. Pianists will come. Organists will come this morning. Play something, some hymn, something the Lord lays on your heart. I wonder if there's somebody here. You've been on the altar already maybe this morning. You've been up here thanking Him and praising Him. And you've been up here praying about this worry, this fret already. And the devil's already come saying, don't you go back up there. Don't you go back up there. I want to say to you, you mind God. If He spoke to you today about worry and His anxieties, I'm going to ask you, would you come? Just put things in God's hands. You trust Him this day. No more worries about it. Devil's looking on today. That one's been bothering you and troubling you with it. Yeah. He's looking on today saying, boy, I got him. You let Him see yourself walk to an altar and bow bended knee before an awesome God and call on the Lord's name today. Well, that's what causes the devil to worry. Causes him to be anxious. Amen. You come this morning. And you mind God as He speaks to your heart. Father, we thank You this morning that You've allowed us an opportunity, Lord, to hear right from Your Word that the peace of God is available to our hearts. Lord, it is the fruit of the Spirit. But yet, God, we need that peace of God. We have peace with God. Lord, I thank You for that. But there's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Lord, I pray today You'd send that. you'd send that to those that desire it, to those that seek it. It is a peace which passes all understanding. Lord, I ask today, Lord, to give this unexplained peace, Lord, to those who are in need. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me say this, and I know you're ready to go, but this is on my heart, and on my heart for a long time. I was looking through some paintings one time, kind of surfing the internet there about all these different pictures, and I punched in the word peace, and all these different pictures come up. And there was one that just jumped out and grabbed me. You know, peace, a rolling meadow, or a stream that it's not even moving. It's just completely still, and lambs drinking from that still water. Boy, there was a lot of peaceful scenes that I saw, but one that just, it just jumped out and grabbed me. There was a bird, and it had a little family there in a nest. And it's built its nest out on a limb that hangs out just adjacent to a waterfall. And when some water comes, maybe not even in that place, but somewhere else, that waterfall comes over and begins to beat on that limb and causes that little bird's nest to just shake so violently, so violently. And the title of that picture of that little bird feeding its little babies in a nest that was so turbulent was peace. And I didn't get it. I thought, how could that be? God said, think about this. It's the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that whether there be turbulence or storms that shake the limb that we're on, they trust me, and it's going to be all right. I'm glad there's a peace of God that passes all understanding.